You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jimmy Butler doesn't seem to care too much about the Eastern Conference Finals trophy, as he shouldn't, because there's only one prize and only one victor out there. So when it comes to why Miami's in this position in the first place as an 8 seed, a lot of it has to do with their three-point shooting. And when we look ahead to the NBA Finals, I think there's some context that we need to keep in mind. And Aaron, I know in terms of figuring out what sort of opponent the Heat will be facing and what kind of challenge they may have as far as their three-point shooting is concerned, you came across something rather interesting.
Yeah, so I, for our earlier segment, was looking at, you know, Caleb Martin and all the possible candidates to lead the series in three-pointers made. And when I was just curious, like, oh, I wonder how good the Nuggets are defending the three. So a good team rankings. And I was shocked. They're the second best team behind New Orleans defending the three. And I was like, wow. So my immediate takeaway was like, ooh, because, I mean, we all know this is kind of how the Heat got here, right? They depend on that three. And if the Nuggets are really good at defending it, then I think they could be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, when we're talking about three-point shooting, I mean, how do you sort of see this shaping up as far as Miami's chances to continue that hot run they had against Boston and maybe what Denver could do to slow them down?
Yeah, there's a couple things here. What I find interesting about that Denver number is obviously great record, great team all year. So then you have a team trying to play catch up. So I wonder if the volume of the opposition of Denver had anything to do with the percentage, right? Where they're ranked so highly in three-point defense, because maybe you're taking some threes that you wouldn't normally king, and it just becomes a volume thing at the end. It's an interesting angle because the Heat come in and look at what they've done this postseason with the three-point shooting. It has been off the charts. It is much higher than what we saw in the regular season. I believe it's a spike. Yeah, so they're shooting 39% on their threes in the playoffs. That's the best. And during the season, they shot 34%. So is negative regression going to set in a little bit here? Continue this? A lot of changes with the players that were on the court from the regular season to the postseason. Same thing with the number of minutes that were logged. So I wonder, I don't want to go too far with the Denver three-point defense. Obviously, they're going to game plan for it, right? Because that's how the Heat have been winning. They're hitting these threes. So they're going to defend it, but I wouldn't say that, okay, now I'm going to fade Miami Heat players because they've been so terrific from the eye. And they know they're going to get killed in the paint. I mean, there's just no way around it, right? I mean, that Jokic-Bam matchup with their history and the size of the bigs that the Heat have at their disposal is just a huge mismatch. So I would think it's going to be a way that Spoelstra's going to attack them.
Yeah, certainly. And I think if you bring up a really good point when it comes to Denver's three-point shooting defense, that the metric itself, the stat itself, is a little wonky for a variety of reasons. Yes, you can defend the three-point shot better in terms of close on the shooter, having a much smaller distance between the nearest defender and the shooter, things like that. So certainly there were things that Boston could have done better to limit Miami's prolific shooting. But at the same time, if you have a hot shooting team, then oftentimes there's not that much you can do about it. And especially when you're talking about Miami, what we saw in this last series was downright historic. Lev Akabas, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing the name, but he brought up a really interesting stat here. The Miami Heat hit 58% of their wide open threes in the Eastern Conference Finals versus the Celtics. 58% of their wide open threes, that's the highest percentage any team has shot on wide open threes in any series in the last 10 years. This is largely why the Heat knocked off the Celtics. It's not necessarily because the Celtics are not as talented as we thought, or, their defense could have been a lot better, but it wasn't so bad to the point of absurdity. Instead, it was the Heat, whenever they had an opportunity to knock down a wide open three, meaning that there's at least 6 feet between the nearest defender and the shooter, they were making them. And they weren't making them in the regular season. And 58% is a really, really high number. Let's add some perspective to that. The Nuggets made 40.7% of their wide open threes in their series sweep against the Lakers. That's 1% lower than what the Heat did. And the Nuggets got the sweep. So 40.7%, which is not a bad number at all. That was more than enough for Denver to knock off the Lakers. But what the Heat did, and still needing 7 games in which to do it, that to me is fascinating. As for Miami's other series in terms of their wide open three-point shooting, 42%, 38%. And then in the regular season, it was 37%. So they were shooting more than 20% better in that 7-game series against Boston than during the regular season. Now, look, they do have some good shooters out there. They were 4th in wide open three-point shooting in last year's regular season. So it's certainly possible that this is more like what we should be accustomed to seeing for Miami, but 58% is a really, really high number, and I just don't know how you can expect that to continue in a grueling series against the Nuggets. To me, they are due for regression, and it could come suddenly.
Well, I think also, you know, going back to that three-point leader prop, we both landed on Caleb Martin. In that first series against the Bucks, he only made 7. Then against the Knicks, he made 10. Then against the Celtics, 22. And so that, to me, was such a big discrepancy that I'm thinking, gosh, it's a little dicey. He's obviously getting way more production. He got hot. He's taking much more. Will that continue? That's what I was asking myself. But the value was there on betting him. You said, what, 13-1, 14-1? And he was by far the leader in that last series out of all the candidates, you know. So it is interesting. The Heat also have so many guys that can get hot from three. It's not just one or two.
Right. Yeah, I also think we can bring back that conversation we had very early in the show at the end of a segment about threes made prop that so many of us are interested in. By the way, just talk about being smarter about it. Shop around. The difference in these numbers on specific players to lead the series and threes made, it's double, triple. And some of the stuff that Aaron was seeing in her state that were 5-1, 7-1, we were seeing 13-1 in our markets, or stuff that was 7-1. You know, Strus, I see at 21-1 by me to lead the way with threes. I think that's a great way to attack that. Go with Heat. The Murray, okay, I get that he's a favorite, -155. I think that's a joke. Porter's the second favorite. And then because you don't know which Heat player is going to have the volume from the outside, that creates some value. Because, sure, we could tell you a story where it's Martin or it's Vincent or it's Strus. Interesting, I haven't seen Duncan Robinson listed And because he's not there for game one, these sports books decided not Tyler Hero, which I think people would have bet that if you threw a big number on it, just like it would have fallen in love with that story. Oh, Hero's going to enter the series and he's going to go off. And, you know, he's sixth man, award winner, blah, blah, blah. I was a little surprised by that. But, I mean, all the value is in these Heat players on made threes.
Yeah.
And with those stat categories, it's hard to make a case for anybody but Jokic in rebounds and assists.
Agreed. And then you've got to lay a big price, but it almost seems locked up if you're into paying a price like that. Have at it. But like Jamal Murray, for example, in the playoffs, total made threes, 47. And you just brought him up. Gabe Vincent, only two behind, 45. So there's value on Vincent and Martin here. And I certainly think one of these guys could get it.
Two thoughts. Number one, something that risks in one of our previous segments that I think is really, really important here. The Nuggets get off to fast starts. And assuming they continue to get off to fast starts, that means that the Heat have to play catch up. And how do you play catch up? You shoot a lot of threes. And so the percentage may not necessarily be high because they're having to hoist a lot of them. But if someone is knocking them down with any kind of consistency, then you're right, Joe, you're going to find some value on a Heat player. Even if they lose certain games or they get swept or lose in five or something like that, still, though, because they have to hoist a lot of threes just to play catch-up late in games, I think there could be some real value there. It's not necessarily that you don't like the offensive output by Murray or Jokic or whomever. It's that the Heat will be forced to shoot a lot more threes. And so definitely find your favorite Heat player and go after it, because I think that makes a lot of sense. The other thing, too, and this is something that Dean Oliver, the Dean of Basketball Analytics, has talked about a lot. If you're looking at specific stats and you're looking at, say, variation from one season to the next, just field goal percentage, not three-point shooting or anything like that, field goal percentage, that's one of the least reliable stats from one season to the next. Then you make it three-point shooting, whether it's wide open or not, and it's one of the least reliable in terms of predicting how well a player and a team will do from one season to the next. And especially if you're going from the regular season to the playoffs, what the Heat did may not have been totally unexpected, but what would be unexpected is for them to sustain this torrid run in terms of shooting threes, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting from the three-point standpoint, because all these other, you know, stat categories, it seems more obvious, but this is the one that's open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, Joe. That's just it. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though the Heat, you know, chances are it won't work out for them in this next series, at the same time, there's ridiculous value because we are assuming regression to the mean. If for some reason it doesn't happen, then definitely saddle up with your favorite Heat player and see if you can find some value. This is BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. Coming up next, Kenny Ducey will join us to talk all things baseball, and we'll get a little French Open from him as well, right here on the BetQL Network.
We'll be right back with BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.